It is 1:31. This is KYR 89.1. I'm Daniel Breen. We're breaking into our programming this hour to bring you live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak here in Arkansas. At yesterday's briefing, we heard the state had seen an increase of 151 new coronavirus cases, bringing the state's total number of people who have ever tested positive to 6,180. We also heard there were two additional deaths recorded yesterday from COVID-19, bringing the total number of Arkansans who have died from that disease to 119. We see on the latest update from the health department, those numbers are unchanged, but as is usually the case in these daily briefings, we expect those numbers to perhaps go up. Governor Asa Hutchinson today is providing his daily briefing in Jonesboro on the campus of the Arkansas State University today, a departure from his usual briefing location of the state capitol here in Little Rock. Yesterday, we heard a bit about what could be considered a second peak of new cases here in Arkansas. Governor Hutchinson has said that it could be quite possible that we are experiencing that now or that we are on the way to it. Currently, there are, as of yesterday, I should say, there were 1,729 active cases. There are also 107 people hospitalized, which is close to the highest ever number of people who have been hospitalized with COVID-19 in Arkansas. I believe that number is about 110. And as Governor Hutchinson and Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith have said numerous times in the past, hospitalizations are more of a reliable metric to gauge whether the coronavirus is seeing a resurgence or is continuing to spread in communities, more reliable than positive test results or even deaths. Again, you are listening to 89.1 KYR Little Rock. We're awaiting live remarks from Governor Asa Hutchinson and state health officials on the coronavirus pandemic here in Arkansas. At yesterday's briefing, we heard a little bit about how the coronavirus is affecting specific communities in the state, particularly the Hispanic population here in Arkansas. We have seen that more recently, the coronavirus is beginning to disproportionately affect the Hispanic community, especially in Northwest Arkansas, which has been identified by national media sources as one of the leading areas of infection, one of the so-called hotspots around the country that are seeing the largest growth rate in new cases. Yesterday, Northwest Arkansas essentially accounted for the largest increase. When you put Washington and Benton counties together, there were 29 new cases in Washington and 16 in Benton. Also, Sevier County, St. Francis County had increases yesterday, largely attributed to the poultry industry. We know that, of course, Northwest Arkansas, but also those counties are the site of some pretty major poultry processing facilities. Yesterday, Health Secretary Nate Smith said that as of Monday, there were 301 cases associated with both those poultry facilities and other businesses that are tangentially related to the poultry industry in Arkansas, which, of course, is a huge, huge industry. Now we go live to Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking in Jonesboro. This is KYR News.
Great to be in Jonesboro, in Northeast Arkansas, and to bring the Northeast Arkansas version of the daily COVID-19 update. And the last time I was here was right after the day of the tornado that struck Jonesboro so severely. And I just want to compliment again the Jonesboro citizens and leadership for the extraordinary job that you have done in bringing Jonesboro back and the recovery, and particularly when you got hit with two emergencies in a row, the COVID-19, and then top that with the tornado. I also want to express appreciation to our leadership that's here. Mayor Perrin, thank you for what you do day in and day out. Judge Marvin Day, we have our legislative delegation, Senator John Cooper, Representative Dwight Tosh, Representative Brant Smith, and Representative Jack Ladyman as well. Chancellor Kelly Danfus, good to see you again, and so many others that joined us earlier before this update, where we had a conversation about Northeast Arkansas, about COVID-19, about the economy, and that kind of discussion gives me a lot of insights into what you're doing here and the leadership that you are providing. I'm joined, of course, by Dr. Nate Smith, our Secretary of Health, who was announced yesterday as taking a high-level position with the Center for Disease Control, but he'll continue working with us through August, and grateful for his continued leadership. Today, I do want to give and go to our case update, and we're going to look at the statistics statewide, and then we're going to come back and look at Northeast Arkansas a little bit more specifically. So we'll go into a little bit more detail than usual. We've got about 10 slides, and then I'll turn it over to Dr. Smith. First, in our case report, yesterday we had 6,180 cases, and then today, the last 24 hours, we have an additional 97 cases. That brings that to 6,277 cases. In terms of hospitalization statewide, we were at 107 yesterday. We have an additional hospitalization net, so it gives us 108 that are currently hospitalized. We have one additional death that brings our total death total from 119 to 120. The good news, of course, is that, twofold today, that 97 is less than yesterday. And so that's good news. And then secondly, our testing was at one of those high levels. We did 4,033 tests in the last 24 hours, which gives us a 1.9% positivity rate. And that speaks well of our radar, our testing that is greatly expanding in Arkansas. And then that positivity rate of 1.9% is certainly good news. If you go to the charts, that just illustrates it in a different way. Of course, here's the number of new cases, and you can see that enormous spike that we had of 450 in one day. And since then, we have been, even with the expanded testing, at 150 and down. And of course, today, it's less than 100. The next graph shows the 7-day rolling average, which again, you can see one peak, you're down, and we're rocking along with the increased testing. We're back up to the same level, but it's going a little bit flat right now, so that's a good sign. The next graph, these are the hospitalizations, and we watched this very carefully. We were up to 100, and looks like about 105. We are 108 is what we are now, and so we're right at the same level almost of the previous peak in hospitalizations. I expect that, quite frankly, to go up and down, but with the number of cases we're having, it's likely to go up a little bit. Next. Now we're coming to Northeast Region. Now, the Northeast Region is a broad area of Northeast Arkansas, of course, but this is a 7-day rolling average of new COVID cases in the Northeast Region, and you contrast that to what you just saw with the two peaks. Here you've got a lot of jagged areas, but the last 3 or 4 days you've got a downward trend, and so we like what we see here. And of course, you got to put it in perspective too. We're talking about 25 cases here. These are new cases, and then it's going down to about 17 here today. Next. The number of hospitalized, and this is in the Northeast Region as well. The hospitalizations reached the peak about 24 hospitalized. Now it's down to about 13 levels, so that looks good for the Northeast Region. Next. And this is the growth rate of new cases in Arkansas by public health region. And so you've got the Central Region, Northeast Region, Northwest, Southeast, and Southwest. Right now, the growth area is in the Northwest sector of the state, which is is a percentage increase. So that's a 58% increase May 17 through 23. And then the Northeast, you can see it's much lower than that at less than 20% increase of cases through that time period. So congratulations, what's happening in Northeast Arkansas. And you go to the next one, you'll see a breakdown by county. Many of you are very interested in what's happening county by county. And so this covers Clay, Cleburne, Craighead, and on down. But Craighead County, of course, you had 138 cases May 17th, and now 178 cases. That's a 29% growth ratio in Craighead County. Let's take Greene County. Greene County went from 24 to 45. That's an 87% increase. These are small numbers, but large increases, which ought to be catching people's attention. Those are, I guess, the other. You've got Crittenden County also, of course, is the largest county in Northeast Arkansas, Eastern Arkansas, and that was at 230 to 276, and so that's something to watch as well. Let's go to the next slide. And this is, again, by public health region, and this is something I wanted everybody to pay attention to, and this is statewide as well, but I asked for this as this is actually statewide numbers here, and the growth rate from 0 to 17 that believes they're totally invincible from the virus, that believes they're invincible for any harm in life, and that's just typical of that age group. But that the cases grew from 190 on May 17th to 278. That's a 46% increase in the cases among the 0 to 17 age group. 18 to 24 was a 32% increase, 25 to 44, 26%, and then 65 and over was a 15% increase, which tells me they're being very careful, and they're being cautious about their activities and their social distancing. So that's just something to remind us all that the virus impacts all age groups. And if we go to the next slide, and this comes back to our testing. Remember my goal of 60,000 tests in the month of May? Well, we are now at 66,000 tests. The line here is the goal. We've exceeded that, and we've got a number of days to go. Next one shows the positivity rate. This is the percent of COVID tests that are positive, where we started, 30 plus percent, and now we can see how low we are in the last couple of days. And so that gives you an idea of both statewide where we are in our case report, but also here specifically in the Northeast region. With that, let me turn it over to Dr. Smith for his comments.
And this is Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith.
Thank you, Governor. I just want to give a little bit more details on some of the numbers and then give some specific information on Craighead County and a little bit more on the Northeast region. In terms of our overall cases for the state, as the Governor mentioned, we've had 97 new cases since yesterday, two of those in correctional facilities, so 95. Our community cases. Of our total 6,277 cases, 1,733 of those are active cases. And of those active cases, 68 are in a nursing home, 466 are in correctional facilities, and 1,199 are active cases in the community. In terms of our nursing homes, we've had three additional residents to test positive, so we're at 364 there, and we've had nine additional nursing home staff to test positive, so we're at 224. The governor mentioned that our current hospitalized went up by one, and that is almost at our peak. Our previous highest number hospitalized was 109. We have currently 22 patients on a ventilator. That's an increase of four from yesterday. We've had one additional death, so we're at 120 deaths. We have 4,424 who have recovered, and that's an increase of 92 from yesterday. The governor mentioned that we have done very well with our testing. This was the second time that we've done more than 4,000 tests in a single day. It's our second highest of all times for a 24-hour period. And our total test that we've done in the state since the beginning of the epidemic is 117,076. And as the governor mentioned, we've already exceeded our goal of 60,000 tests for the month of May. In terms of some of our occupational risk factors or exposures, we have had a number of occupational clusters. Most of them have been in the poultry industry. We've had a total of 301 cases associated with the poultry businesses, and 220 of those are active. We've had a couple of other businesses that have had some small clusters as well, including the Best Manufacturing here in Jonesboro, with a total of 6 active cases. We've looked very carefully to see where people may have been exposed. We've seen an increase in cases, increase of hospitalizations, at the same time that we've opened up some of these things like restaurants and barber shops, beauty shops. But we've not seen a correlation between new cases and these places that have opened up. Of our active cases, the number, the percentage who have reported going to a restaurant within the previous 14 days, which is the incubation period, is less than 1%. It's 0.8%. Those who reported having gone to a barber shop within the previous 2 weeks are 1%. Those who have gone to a church service have been 0.7%, daycare 0.5%, gym 0.2%, a hotel or motel 0.3%. So we are seeing an upswing in cases. These don't seem to be associated with these newly opened businesses, but we'll continue to keep a very close eye on that. We've been particularly concerned about our Latino population. Overall, only about 10% of our cases have been in our Latino population, but of our active cases, it's 20%. So that's certainly a concern. Turning specifically to Craighead County, according to the most recent numbers I have, we have 191 cases here. We've had an overall 4% positivity rate. Our testing per population here in Craighead County has been slightly higher than for the state as a whole. We've done 394 tests per 10,000 population in Craighead County. In the state, it's been 383. Some interesting points to our cases here in Craighead County. We've had 13.6% have been Latino, even though the Latino population of Craighead County is only 5.2%. Most of the cases here in Craighead County have been in Jonesboro, about 85%. In terms of age group, the largest age group has been the 25 to 44 age group, and over 40% of the cases have been in that age range. We have here, according to my most recent numbers, we have 10 currently hospitalized. We have 9 ICU admissions and 1 on a ventilator. And so far in Craighead County, we've not received reports of any deaths, although there have been deaths within the region. Currently, we have 50 active cases here in Craighead County. We have lots of other numbers that we've looked at. I'm very proud of the Northeast region. A couple weeks ago, I had mentioned that Northeast was the fastest growing part of the state. And over the last 2 weeks, that's really changed. And now the rate of growth in new cases in the Northeast part of the state is actually lower than the state average. So I'm trying to figure out what y'all have done. I'd like to bottle it and take it to the other parts of the state as well. So thank you for the work that you've been doing. We all have a lot more work, though, to try and get our COVID-19 outbreak under control, see a reduction, a continued reduction in the number of new cases, and a reduction in the number of hospitalized patients as well. With that, I'll turn it back over to the governor.
Dr. Smith is a data guy, and let me tell you, he brought more data than I could absorb in a lifetime on this trip. So if you need anything more in-depth analysis, he's got it very handy. I know we spent a lot of time talking about the virus and our cases and where we are, and I don't want to neglect the other side of the equation, which is the economy and how we need to continue to drive and our openings to support our local businesses and to do it in a smart way. But I look what's ahead, and I know that people are hurting. Some are unemployed. I stopped before I came here by the Department of Workforce Services and thanked all of those that have been putting in so many hours to make sure the unemployment assistance gets out. And of course, we're hoping that those numbers go down, that more people are working. And I would remind people that you might have received unemployment assistance for some time, which we're glad for that opportunity. But as the opportunity comes to you to go back to work, go back to work. That is a responsibility as well. We need people working here in the state of Arkansas. With that, be happy to turn it over for questions. Yes, ma'am.
Amanda Hansen with Region 8 News. There's been a lot of talk, at least over the past couple of days, about Greene County, specifically Paragould. I know Friday you mentioned about the cluster of cases on one street, then the high school swim party, which we found out yesterday was Paragould. Could you elaborate a little bit more about the details of that? Are those connected? Is there a concern in Greene County? Because I know you mentioned about the increase of cases when you pulled up that slide earlier.
I'm going to let Dr. Smith comment on that.
And Health Secretary Nate Smith.
Of course, we're concerned whenever we see an increase in cases anywhere in the state, and in Greene County, which previously it had fairly small number of cases. Even a relatively small cluster will increase that proportionally quite a bit. And so it's important we pay attention to it. Our case investigation contact tracing will help to get that under control. I'm not concerned about a widespread, huge outbreak in Greene County. But it is a lesson, though, for all of our counties, is that even if you're in a county where there have been very few cases, that situation can change quickly. And this virus has very little room for error, margin for error. And if you have one of these group settings where people are in close contact, breathing each other's air, you know, touching each other, hugging, kissing, it takes almost nothing for this virus to spread quickly. So it's a word of caution to all of us. Even if you're living in a part of the state where you've not seen many cases, you still have to do that social distancing to protect yourself and to protect your loved ones. So I don't want to pay too much attention focused on Greene County as if it was different from any other county in the state, but it's a good lesson for all of us that it's good if you're living in a county that hasn't had too many cases, but the only way to keep it there is to take these measures that we know about: social distancing, wearing the mask for source control, hand washing, and of course staying away if you're sick.
Can I follow up with that, though? Just because it was talked about on the national stage, CNN, live on GMA, about the high school swim party. Is there any kind of number that can be connected to, I know you were talking about contact tracing. A lot of the reason behind that story was to show how easily it spreads. Is there a number, as far as to say how many cases may have filtered from that one specific situation?
I don't have that yet. Once we have completed our contact tracing, and of course, you know, this is a, when we talk about contact tracing, it's not a one-time deal. What we do is we contact known cases, we get their contacts, we contact those cases, we get them tested, and it's a sort of concentric circles until we've found all the cases and have everyone either isolated or, if they've been exposed, quarantine. So it's a process that can take some time, and there'll be plenty of time to look at lessons learned there. But I don't want to spend too much time on just one event. Really, what we need to be doing is learning from that so that we don't repeat it elsewhere.
Yes.
Yeah, Governor, thank you. Jonathan Reeves, KASU News. Thank you for your time and for allowing me to answer or ask a question. With the state coming towards the fall, we know there's a lot of people who are worried about the flu season coming up, and then also with the possibility of COVID-19 increasing. How is the state preparing for what could be a really, really bad winter? And the second question, this might be for Dr. Smith, how many cases in the state are healthcare workers? And there's a lot of people worried about the frontline workers and the job they're doing, if you don't mind, please, sir. And thank you.
Those are very good questions. And the answer is we're spending a lot of time right now here in the month of May looking at October, November, and December of next year. And so we're building the infrastructure so that we can continue to live life. We can continue to educate. We can continue to do all the things that life is about, and to do business and to grow our economy next fall. And we also know that we have to be prepared for whether it's a resurgence or just a continued threat from the virus. That's why we're investing in contact tracing so that we'll have that infrastructure even to a greater extent next year. We're investing in greater testing resources, not just through the Department of Health, but around the state, and building that capacity so we can have a quick turnaround on testing. We're looking at antibody testing as well. And of course, we're hoping for a vaccine. But until that vaccine comes, we have to have that infrastructure in place, and we're investing in that so that we can plan on K through 12 education in classroom instruction. Arkansas State University having in classroom instruction and a regular school year. Now we might have to take a break. We might have to have a lot of things differently. We might have to have some online instruction in combination with our classroom instruction. And that's what our education team is working on right now, looking forward to next year. Our industries are doing the same thing. Our retail shops, our manufacturing, they're changing the way they do business so they can continue to do business in a safe way that protects their employees and protects the public.
The issue of healthcare workers. Since the beginning of our outbreak, we've had 575 healthcare workers test positive, so that's 9.2% of all cases. Now, most of these have recovered. As of yesterday, 447 had recovered. Now, here in Craighead County, we've had 35 healthcare workers who have tested positive. And so I know that's a particular issue here right where we are.
Yes. Governor George Jared with Talk Business and Politics. Are you guys developing any type of comprehensive plan with the public school system for next fall as far as online instruction or limiting the number of kids that can be in classrooms, anything along those lines?
The answer, and of course the question is for the audience about what kind of specific plans are being developed for K through 12 education for next year. And our Secretary Key, and along with his education team, working with superintendents, are helping to develop the specific plans, getting a lot of feedback on that. You know, part of it is blended education so that it's classroom instruction, but it can be blended with some of the online instruction that they've become accustomed to. We're also building the infrastructure, and members of the General Assembly are here, and we'll be asking for their approval for funding for helping in those areas of the state, rural Arkansas, that does not have the access to high-speed rural broadband. And we want to be able to get that to them so they're not hampered if you have to blend in some online instruction. So a lot of that is going on now, Those are just giving you some different themes, and the specifics of that will be laid out in the coming weeks and months.
As a follow-up, Governor, is there a time frame for when you guys will have to have some of these plans put into place so that the school districts can get ready before the fall?
There is, and of course, the earlier the better, because everyone needs to prepare. But I think we still have some time to work with. The first thing is, when's school going to start? And we expect that to start in the usual fashion as it has in the past. Secondly, you know, what additional kind of training is needed for the teachers and preparation? They might have to be some structural changes in some of the schools, just in terms of the shapes of the classroom to allow more space. But stay tuned, and we'll hopefully have some more specifics in the near future. Yes, sir.
Laganza KL, KLEK Radio. Governor, what is the state's plan concerning the upcoming election, and what would you say to those in the state who are concerned about the virus still being strong around election time and keeping the election safe so people can still exercise their right to vote without fear of catching COVID-19?
All the voters that look at November should be assured that we're going to work very hard to make sure that whatever the condition of the virus is at that time, that we're going to have an election, and we're going to do everything we can to have it in a safe fashion for all the voters, but also for those poll workers that are working in that arena. And so as to what that plan will be, I've got probably until August, because August is the time that the county clerks have to start printing ballots and getting ready for the fall election. So we want to wait and see exactly where we are in June and July and make some decisions then as to what the November election might look like and what safety precautions or changes might be necessary. And then one question here, and then we'll go remotely. Yes, ma'am.
After that tornado came through Jonesboro, I mean, it destroyed a huge economic hub with the mall here in town. Is the state doing anything to maybe help assist them in rebuilding? Are the stores that are working to rebuild or entice others to come in? And how soon could we maybe start seeing something?
That's an excellent question. And of course, the state has worked very closely with your local leadership. And I just got a report from A.J. Gary. And of course, the individual and public assistance, or the individual assistance will be available. I want to make sure I've got that right. There is a number that will be available tomorrow. That will be 1-888-683-ADAM. Which allows you to call in about the individual assistance. That call center begins tomorrow, May 28th, and runs through June 10th. And that will be for individuals that can apply for the SBA Disaster Assistance Program. And so those are things that we're working on, that we've got the federal disaster approval for that. In terms of the growth of businesses here, that's what we work with in terms of economic development. That's part of our pandemic unemployment assistance for individuals, but we have our Ready for Business grants that has helped some of the small businesses as they restart as a result of this COVID-19, but you also can take advantage of that because of other necessities and other loan programs too. Now let's go remotely for a moment and see if there's a question remotely.
Governor, it's Roly Hoyt with THV 11.
Yes.
I have a question actually for Dr. Smith. As we've seen the last couple of months, when we've got big batches of test results coming in, you've seen a lot of asymptomatic cases in there. Now that we've got a really steady flow, a couple thousand results a day, what percentage of those cases are coming back as mild? And what's your estimate right now of how many asymptomatic people are out there?
And this question for Health Secretary Nate Smith.
That's an excellent question. I don't have a good ready answer for that, in that it takes us a little while to get the data back on symptoms after we contact a case, but we'll work to come up with as best estimate as we can. When we're doing testing, we do ask questions about symptoms, but we're not doing this as a research study, and so we really look to published research studies more to give us that specific information about what proportion of cases we would expect to be asymptomatic. The level of detail of those questions that we ask is not the same as you would find perhaps in a published study, but we do know that we're seeing a significant portion of our positives are asymptomatic when we test in settings like a prison or a nursing home.
Quick follow-up on that. I've heard some epidemiologists talk about multiplying your active case numbers by like 30 or 40. Are you comfortable with that kind of multiplier?
I think that really is going to depend on the setting. We're not again. I haven't seen numbers multipliers that high. We do know that there's a significant number of asymptomatic cases. There are some that are pre-symptomatic. They're asymptomatic perhaps at the time that you test them, but then they do go on to develop symptoms, whether they're severe or not. So it's a little bit difficult to get at that number, and it kind of depends on how you count it. I'm sorry, I'm giving you sort of a non-answer answer, but this is an area where there's still quite a bit of uncertainty.
Let's go to a different question remotely. Is there another question remotely? All right, we have one here in the room right here. Yes, sir.
Governor Keith Inman, you have been on national television a lot, and in especially recent days, they put you in a position of defending your decisions. Do you feel comfortable with that, being in that position?
I do. I think it's actually important that Arkansas and what's happening here is represented on the national stage, both in terms of how we're dealing with the virus, but also how we're doing economically. And, whether we're there to answer the questions or not, it's going to be discussed. And so I would rather explain what we're doing, explain what the good people of Arkansas are doing, and put it in a balanced perspective. So yes, I think that is important. Yes, ma'am.
You know, you've talked about the PUA payments and also the small business money that's available, the loans and the grants. You know, there's been some people that have still gone for 2 months or so now, some businesses that haven't been at that weren't able to open for an extended amount of time that still haven't received those payments. Sometimes there's those late fees acquired onto that. Have you thought about that? What would you want to say to those people? Because I know a lot of these small business owners are not only impacted with their business, but personally as well.
Did you say late fees?
Late fees now that on bills that they've
they haven't been able to pay. Well, what I have to say is that my heart goes out for a business that has suffered because of this virus, but also because of the public health emergency. And that puts them in a terrible position to try to survive as a family, to pay bills. And that's why I've pushed very, very hard to make sure that we can get the unemployment assistance out, but also the pandemic unemployment assistance that goes to the small business owners. And I know that this last weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday through the holiday, we had 60 or some people working each day, and they were motivated because they knew people depended upon that money getting out. Thank goodness the largest portion of those funds are out right now, and that will continue. So I'm delighted that we've made some success there, but I also know that there's been real genuine hardships out there that people have had to live with. All right, I want to check to see if there's one more question remotely, and then we'll
go. Yes, this is Alex with Channel 7.
All right.
In the past, it's been said that when we've had a spike in cases, that the number to really look at is hospitalizations. But now we're having a spike in hospitalizations. So what is that telling you? Is that telling you that the spread is getting worse?
Well, first of all, I mean, whether we've had a spike or not spike, Dr. Smith and I have been very consistent that hospitalizations is a key factor. Absolutely. So we work at that every day. That's why we present it in our graphs that we present publicly every day, very transparent in those terms. Hospitalizations has always been measured in terms of hospital capacity and whether we have enough hospital space in which to treat all COVID patients and now certainly the public in generally, and we do have that capacity. We continue to watch it. Hospitalizations naturally will reflect a small percent of your overall cases, so that's why I said that I would expect the hospitalizations to go up some, but it's not a concern. We have more than adequate hospital spaces. I think every hospital administrator that I met with earlier here in Northeast Arkansas, but also in Central Arkansas, would vouch that we have more than adequate hospital space to deal with this emergency. Dr. Smith, did you want to add to that?
Health Secretary Nate Smith.
I agree with the Governor's comments. Clearly, we're seeing an increase in hospitalizations, and that's a good signal that we're seeing increased disease activity in our communities. Now, some of those hospitalizations could be from folks who acquired their infection in a correctional facility, but in general, I think we need to take that very seriously, and it's important not just to look at the overall number, but where are those cases occurring, and what can we do about those? And we've noted that we are seeing the most rapid increase in cases in the northwest part of the state, and the group that we're seeing the most rapid increase right now is our Latino population. And so we're making targeted efforts to reach that community make sure that we have access to testing amongst all of our communities, and then to take the appropriate actions that we know, the isolation, quarantine, and continuing to reinforce the social distancing and wearing masks, things of that sort. So yes, when we see that uptick in hospitalizations, that definitely is a concern.
All right, yes, sir.
Yeah. Thank you for one more question. So on the previous slide, you talked about how children, you were concerned about children 0 to 17, and that, and I know that at one point they were not maybe listed as that one, as the vulnerable population. Do you think we have to start looking at that now possibly because we're seeing such a higher case? I mean, I know obviously you have certain people like that may have diabetes or other situations that are definitely going to be in the vulnerable, but do we think now that children might be possibly?
Well, it's the over 65 that remains vulnerable and has to have special areas of caution. The 0 to 17 age group, that's important to illustrate because even though they might not terribly impact them in terms of symptoms or long-term consequences, they can be a carrier and it could impact those that are vulnerable. And then secondly, I wanted to illustrate this because I want young people to be careful. I want them to think, and it's hard for them at that age to understand the repercussions of their actions when they're simply doing something that's fun and normal. But we have to really ask them to do something unusual for teenagers, and that is to be very disciplined in terms of behavior. Yes, sir.
This is a question for Dr. Nate Smith. Is there anything, you said that the Latino population is a concern now. Is there anything specific about the Latino population in the state that is causing this rapid rise in COVID-19 cases among them? Is it where they work, what they do, their community structures? Is there any specifics on that?
I don't have any specifics as to why right now we're seeing an increase in cases in the Latino population. I think early on we saw a few cases in the Latino community, and so it may have been a time delay It may have been that we weren't really assessing that population very well. We've made our testing much more available, and previously there may have been limited access. And then we've also had a number of clusters associated with the poultry industry, and we know that not all, of course, but many of the workers in that industry are Latino. So there's a number of different factors. What we have seen is that rather than having one COVID-19 outbreak in Arkansas, we've had many outbreaks in different parts of the state affected at different times. That sort of two-hump camel I've referred to before is most likely showing us that we've had increases in one part of the state, and then it may be decreasing in one part of the state and then increasing in others. Early on, most of our cases were in the central part of the state, and right now the central region is the slowest growing in terms of their increases. Still increasing numbers of cases, but slower than the rest of the state.
All right, last question here.
You were talking about the growth rate between 0 to 17, and you mentioned about that they were, you know, thought to be a carrier. I know early on, one of the first things that you did was close the schools. I know that on May 31st, overnight camping is going to be allowed for those campers to return to that, and then a lot of youth sports activities have started back up. How concerned are you about that, and also how do you really get them to get on with the initiative of doing things to make sure that you're preventing the spread?
Well, the first part of the question, we did close the schools, and we closed restaurants, and we closed other very personal businesses. But when we reopened those and lifted the restrictions, they were based upon special guidelines from the Department of Health. And so we've changed the business model, we've changed the education model. In team sports, they're having to do a lot differently. The coaches wearing a mask and protecting the children and taking checks, screening them. And so they have to follow those guidelines now, and that gives us the comfort level. The second part of your question is more difficult. How do you get everybody to follow the guidelines? And we scratch our heads on that. That's one of the reasons we communicate publicly and share information. I have the belief that if we share information and everybody understands it and the risk associated with it, then they will use common sense and behave appropriately. And by and large, Arkansans do exactly that. But we also look at how do we use our advertising dollars? Can we put some more in the Latino community and elsewhere? So, or to target young people. So we look at that messaging as well. All of that's important, because whether you're 65 or whether you're 14, we want everybody to feel a sense of responsibility for themselves and for others. And I want to appreciate the audiences coming from abroad or remotely, and I don't want to cut anybody off. Is there somebody who hasn't asked a question remotely that has a question?
Yes, please, Governor. It's Brent Raines with 4029. Can you hear me?
I can.
Yes, my question is for Dr. Smith. Today we're talking with a person who has been dealing with complications related to the virus for more than 70 days now, and she's pleading with officials to allow her to be tested with her husband's plasma, who's since recovered from the virus, but is being told she's not bad enough since she's not on a ventilator or an ICU. Can you update us on that plasma treating process as far as the state federal guidelines? Can you just talk about that and update us where we stand with that, please?
I think your question is about the convalescent plasma, which is a promising potential treatment, taking the plasma, which has antibodies, from someone who's fully recovered and giving it to someone who's very sick. With this therapy, we don't have a definitive proof of its effectiveness, although we believe it probably is helpful based on its effectiveness in other conditions. It's generally being used for those who are very sick, where the potential benefit is greater than the potential harm. And I think that's probably, without knowing the details of this case, I think that's probably what you're referring to, is the desire to use these experimental treatments, or treatments that are not well proven in those patients who are likely to need it the most, and in a setting where the benefits are likely greater than the side effects. The same is true with remdesivir, another drug that is available on an emergency use authorization, and there's limited supplies, and so we target that towards those patients who are the sickest and are most likely to benefit from it. And so that's I don't think anyone's picking on her in particular, but certainly that would be a decision for her physicians.
It's great to be in Jonesboro today. Thank you all very much. We'll convene again tomorrow. Thank you.
And that was Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking alongside Health Secretary Nate Smith in his latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. You're listening to 89.1 KYR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. Just a brief rundown of what we heard in today's briefing. The state has an additional 97 cases of the coronavirus, bringing the total number of cases in the state to 6,277. A little bit of a smaller increase than we have seen in previous days. And we have also seen one additional death from COVID-19, bringing the total there to 120 in the state. And one additional person hospitalized with COVID-19 in Arkansas, bringing the total to 108. That is just one person under the all-time high that we saw in Arkansas, the highest number of Arkansans hospitalized with COVID-19 that we saw in late April. And again, we also have 1,733 cases of the coronavirus that are considered active in the state out of 6,277 people who have ever tested positive for the virus. And again, you've been listening to the governor's live daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. This is 89.1 KYR. Please listen this afternoon to All Things Considered for a more in-depth analysis of the numbers and the state of the COVID-19 pandemic in Arkansas, and again tomorrow morning during Morning Edition. Thanks for listening. This is KYR News.